NPR.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill, one of the original recyclers. Did you know that it takes nearly 1,800 gallons of water to produce one pair of jeans? When those jeans are donated to Goodwill, they're sold in Goodwill stores, and the proceeds support employment services for people in the local community. Goodwill shoppers and donors promote a greener community. More at goodwill-suncoast.org. And we are so grateful to all of you who made our fall fund drive a success. If you pledge to pay by check or if you need to return your Circle of Friends paperwork, please send it Gene Moore's way or call him at 813-238-8001. And again, thank you very much and good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. This is Community Radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. Each day, Monday through Thursday at this time, you and I take a look at what's happening in the White House and around the executive branch of your United States government. Yes, they are your employees. I'm John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each Monday through Thursday, joined as we are so often in the studio here on Buckle Up Thursday by Mr. Craig Kopp. Good afternoon, sir.
Huh? What?
What, huh? Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you.
This thing on? Hello, John.
How you doing?
Yeah, it is Buckle Up Thursday, and do want to point out it's also First Time Caller Thursday.
There you go.
So if you've listened to the show before and...
or not.
I don't. Or not. And are just still thinking, what the hell is this? Stick around for a minute. We'll try to explain that to you as we go. But if you never called before... out of nerves or you don't think you have something to contribute, whatever it is. We'd love to hear from you. Get your voice involved in the discussion. 813-239-9663 is the number to call. You tell Jimmy Lyons there that, or Jimmy...
James Lyles.
James Lyles.
I got it wrong. Phone man right over there.
James Lyles.
Take your call.
Yeah, he'll take your call and tell him you're a first-time caller, and he'll indicate that to us on our nifty computers here, and you'll get some pre-boarding privileges on our in executive session today.
Yep. Now, we do welcome all viewpoints. This is a conversation that's open to everybody. We require civility as we kind of test a proposition here, and that is that we might get along better as a country if we stopped screaming at each other across the street and started talking with each other over the back fence. As Craig said, you can reach the conversation at 813-239-9663. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885.
And do not forget, by the way, to check us out on the Facebook.
That's right.
And like that there on the Facebook. And if you ever want to get a hold of me on the Twitter, at WMNF Craig Kopp, C-R-E-I-G-K-O-P-P. And we'll get into the whole Twitter wars thing.
Yes, it is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So please take your seats. Return your seat backs and tray tables to their full upright and locked positions and buckle up. There is a caravan, supposed quote caravan unquote, of migrants from Honduras walking north through Guatemala, apparently headed for the United States. Now, Honduras is one of the world's most dangerous nations. That nation is among the top 10 in the world in murders per capita. The president has threatened to send the American military to close our southern border, claiming, without offering any evidence, that the refugees include, quote, criminal elements and drugs. So is this a case of guilty until proven innocent? And how do you think we should handle the influx of refugees seeking safety and freedom in our country? Now, in another very distant location, the apparent murder and dismemberment in the Saudi Arabian embassy in Istanbul of a Saudi national and Washington Post reporter who was living as a legal permanent resident in the United States remains unsolved. Now, You've probably noticed that as time passes and more details come out, this scene becomes increasingly ghastly. Now with reports of finger amputations and beheading, and the autopsy doctor telling the others around him to listen to music as he wields a bone saw to dismember a guy who may have still been living at the time. The president has seemed willing to accept the royal family's denials of any involvement with or any knowledge of the murder. You think this is plausible? And what do you think the American response should be?
Gee, John, two easy ones today. and I'm trying to figure out the buckle up Thursday ramifications of both of these stories. I do not want to make light of the refugees traveling through Guatemala, heading toward Mexico and trying to, I guess, eventually get to our border and get across. But, you know, 3 weeks before the midterm elections.
Yeah,
this is a kind of tailor-made to that fear-mongering part of politics.
Yeah.
Where we get involved in talking about the other.
Yeah.
And the threat they pose. And the administration has already made these rumblings about cutting off aid to Guatemala.
Yeah.
Because those people are leaving there because Guatemala's in too good a shape.
Yeah.
Are going through there or leaving these countries because they're in such good shape and don't need our help. No. And also about, like, massing troops at the border to turn away these drug-crazed criminals.
Yeah. That have just walked.
Yeah.
From Honduras.
Yeah, from Honduras because... that's what drug-crazed criminals do.
Because it is such a delightful season to take such a touch of stroll.
It's very lovely there this time of year, I hear, John. It's so tailor-made for now that it just bugs me. But the part about cutting off funds to another country because they're letting refugees pass through, not even to our country, but eventually to Mexico, and then eventually to our border. We're going to cut off money to them. And yesterday, I hear, we received like $100 million from the Saudis.
Yeah.
In some kind of security agreement we've got going with them.
Yes, sir.
In the midst of this Jamal Khashoggi thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jamal Khashoggi thing, now I feel that somewhat shifting. The Secretary of State, who went over there on a fact-finding mission, had a very optic moment, smiling and shaking hands with the Crown Prince.
Right, and then coming back and saying,
"We didn't want to talk about facts.
I don't want to discuss the facts."
That's so weird. I've been a kind of a writer all my life and had lots of editors. These kinds of discussions happen. Do you realize what that sounds like? Do you realize, you know, that doesn't, is that really what you want to say?
Yeah.
And you come back from a fact-finding mission and the words that come out of your mouth are, they didn't want to talk about facts and neither did we.
I don't want to talk about the facts.
So what mission was this? But anyway, the Secretary of State got in late last night, long trip, you know, I went there, went to Turkey, came back. I went to the White House today. And after that, we find out that Mr. Mnuchin is not going to go to that big financial, Davos
in the desert. Yes, yeah.
He's not going. And that was, kind of up in the air. So apparently, whatever facts he did not find out on that trip, gave the Treasury Secretary pause in terms of being involved in anything the whatever that is, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia at this point. And then we still hear this talk about the how many billion-dollar arms deal.
Well, it ranges, according to who you talk to, between 6 and over 400.
Billion.
Right,
which is, this is what we'd love to do. We'd love to buy all this military equipment from you. And the worry is that they'll buy them from China, they'll buy them from Russia, they'll buy them somewhere else. Okay. When you're talking, I tried to put myself for about 4 seconds this morning on the drive-in in the position of Jamal Khashoggi's fiance, who watched him go in to the consulate right. in Turkey.
Stood outside for 3 hours.
And didn't, and he never came out.
Right.
And then you're starting to hear these stories about how it went down. And I know that it's not confirmed and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I heard the president say, you know, he was asked, well, shouldn't we have the FBI? Well, he's not a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm. Besides, you don't know whether we got the FBI on it or not.
Yeah, I think, wouldn't it be a good idea to tell the world we do have the FBI looking into this? He may not have been a U.S. citizen, but he was a U.S. resident.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if he drove in this country. Because he did live in the D.C. area, and you can get around, in general, on the trains, the subway system in D.C. I don't know, but he very well may have had a Virginia driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Close enough for me when it comes to, and we work for the Washington Post, for crying out loud, that we should have some concern about him even over and above $400 billion worth. Because, again, it's not money on the table. There's no contract signed. There's nothing there. It's all talk about what we want to do. And, you know, all those things are debates that we have in this country over whether we want to sell that much armament to an ally. Mm-hmm. We have those discussions.
Yeah.
And plus, the other thing is, if they wanted to go buy this stuff from the Soviets now, they've got... They've got a garage full of Fords.
Right.
Okay. That don't use tools, that use tools set to the American standard.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go buy a bunch of, I don't know, give me a foreign car, Fiats or something,
right.
That use metric tools.
Right.
So you got to buy.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't think that's how it works. But I'm back to this thing. I don't know about you, but it just sounds like this really did happen this way.
Mm-hmm.
That he went in there, and there were 15 guys that just flew into town.
Yeah. Tourists.
To do something to him.
Yeah.
And they did it to him.
Yeah.
And there's reports that our administration is trying to square a story with the Saudis that somebody somehow, well, we were interrogating him.
They're trying to come up with a story that everybody believes.
And there isn't one. Unless you, and what if you can't show me a body?
Yeah.
If you can't show me a body, then I have to believe that you cut them into little pieces?
Mm-hmm.
This is horrible. What was the reaction Americans had to ISIS taking British and American citizens, hauling them out in the desert, pulling a saber out of?
Yeah.
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 This is for you, Obama.
Yeah.
And cutting that guy's head off.
Right. Or the pilot that they put in a cage.
Yeah, yeah. What was Americans' reaction to that?
Yeah.
And when we have this done to a guy who worked for an American newspaper and lived in the state of Virginia and paid taxes because he drew a paycheck. What kind of reaction is this? I just don't understand it. I think you probably have talked about this, about what should our reaction be, and I understand diplomacy to a certain level where you do have relations with people you just can't stand.
Sure.
And who do things that are counter to to what you believe should be done. And we tolerate a lot of that. And people, we've tolerated a lot of that with Saudi Arabia. It started because they had all the oil. All right.
Which, by the way, they don't anymore.
Right. And I'm of an age that can remember the 70s and alternate days you could buy gas.
Yeah, right.
When they decided to cut off the spigot.
Yeah.
What reaction should we have to what is exactly what ISIS did to citizens on video in the middle of a desert? It is apparent that the Saudi government, in the form of the prince,
right,
did in their consulate offices,
yeah,
in Turkey. Now, I know we don't know for sure. Here's what I need to see. I need to see Jamal Khashoggi alive. I need to see Jamal Khashoggi dead and in one piece.
Mm-hmm.
Delivered, his body delivered to his fiance.
Right.
In one piece. And I need to see the 15 guys. Because I don't think we're ever going to see them again.
No.
Okay? I don't think we're ever going to. Now, I just don't. And how the kind of thinking that would have to. That's a separate question. And I know I'm going long here. But this is a big deal to me. Because, number one, it involves a reporter. Someone who didn't hate his government. Who just thought, and he actually thought this government was heading in a direction that might be positive.
Mm-hmm.
But he just thought it would be totally more positive if you let the people talk about it.
Yeah.
Pro and con. That's all he was after.
Isn't it interesting that one of our tremendous attractions to the crown prince is that he's a progressive?
Oh, yeah. Let women drive and showed the emoji movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Apparently, a good deal of window dressing at this point. And so a separate point of discussion is there anything this country has done that would give the crown prince the idea that he could get away with this? Because there's no way you get away with this. There's no way you get away with this. What were you thinking? What gave you the idea that you could get away with this?
That's a good question. What in the world is going on that you thought you could pull this off
without consequences?
No consequences.
And the other one is, what should the consequence be?
Yeah.
813-239. I know I talked a long time, but these issues are, this is so mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
I had to turn the television off like three times last night. And I tried not to listen this morning, and then I did. Because, yes, that fiance standing out there for 3 hours before she called Turkish authorities. And she's not even going to get a body back.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't it be great? You know, the Washington Post today published his last writings, and they are all about freedom of speech.
Yeah,
and they did it because they don't expect to see him again, but they were hoping against hope, and I still hope against hope he walks out of a door somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either.
What in the world gave Saudi Arabia the idea that they could get away with this without consequence, and what should the consequence be? 813-239-9663. Join us in executive session here on WMNF.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
Mr. We could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
in session on Buckle Up Thursday here, an executive session on WMNF, and we are going to go right straight to Teresa in St. Petersburg. Good afternoon, Teresa. You're in the session.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
All right.
We're fine. We were just talking about how it took me a long time to get there, but I finally did.
Yeah, you do. That's okay. I like listening to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, first of all, they have the right, because we have a guy in the White House that has said it's perfectly okay because reporters are the enemy of the people or the America or whatever. So He's not going to do anything about it.
Do you think that that's how somebody like in Saudi Arabia or another country, because the president and people around the president constantly say that's just a figure of speech.
Well, they can say that all they want, but when you have people like the dictators, like, you know, Saudi Arabia and all them, that there's been a lot of reporters killed and over the last year. I think I was reading in the paper this morning they were talking about it. There's a lot, you know, and it's because of him. He has started this enemy of the people. So don't listen to him. They're all fake news. So you've got the dictators around the world going, okay, well, we've got our guy in as president of the United States that says the free press should not have it. You know, they're the enemy of the people, so we must take them out.
Yeah,
and that's what they're doing.
Also,
the way I see it.
Also, those folks have taken up the use of the phrase "fake news."
Exactly,
it has begun to come back to us from around the world.
Yeah,
people around the president aren't any better than him.
Yeah, I just, John referenced the report. I just saw that the other day.
Yeah,
that the other countries are starting to, other leaders in other countries are starting to use that phrase, fake news.
Yeah. So, and we're supposedly one of the, you know, the country that people look for leadership. So now what they're looking at is that we have got a wannabe dictator, and the Republican Party is just letting him do whatever they want. And whatever he wants, he's not going to be checked. And we all get to vote on November 6th, but the Republicans can't win, so they've got to cheat as many Democrats out of our right to vote so that they do win. And so,
separate topic, but
yeah, there you go. I believe you've branched out, Teresa.
Yeah, this is what's going on, and a lot of people on the right don't believe it. And that, you know, okay, fine, don't believe it.
That's it.
When you see what's going on in North Dakota and Georgia and around the country, you know, it's what's going on, whether you want to believe it or not.
It will be interesting on November 6th to see how many Republicans are required to file provisional ballots.
Exactly. Well, there will be none.
We'll see. Teresa, I appreciate your comments. Well, I want to...
Thanks. We'll talk again, Teresa.
We'll talk again, Teresa. Appreciate it. You do the same. The whole enemy of the people thing, you know, I'm one of those guys who believes words have power.
Yeah.
And when I even talk to myself, and I'll be full out and admit, yeah, every once in a while I will talk to myself. You know, what the hell are you doing? Why the hell did you say that? What are you thinking? But, you know, my words have tremendous power over my attitude.
Yeah.
All right? Is it possible? Is it really possible? I suppose in this day and age, that using that enemy of the people in reference to a press that writes things that are not flattering to you,
right,
can be interpreted by another culture as a thumbs up,
yeah,
to inviting a journalist into your consulate and slicing and dicing.
Is it possible?
Wow. Okay.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back to this conversation. 813-239-9662 gets you in contact with Mr. James Lyles and gets you ready to step in here and have your say in executive session here on WMNF.
British are coming. The British are coming again.
The 60s had ended, but England's audio assault on the States continued in the late 70s as progressive rock gave way to metal and new wave began to assert itself. WMNF presents The British Are Coming. 16 bands perform the best songs by the best British bands, 1975 to 1979. Saturday, November 3rd. Music starts at 6 at Skipper's Smokehouse. Tickets $12 advance. Go to WMNF.org for more info.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenco Massage Sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com. And support for WMNF also comes from our members and Live Nation, presenting Trevor Noah's first ever arena run with Loud and Clear Tour, 2019. The Daily Show host and celebrated comedian performs at the Yuengling Center on January 20th. More at Ticketmaster.com. And back we are.
Interesting. The other thing that Teresa said that really hit me about Republicans. They are not on board with Saudi appeasement.
No?
Not generally.
Hmm.
Not generally. There's a whole bipartisan movement to kick in the Magnitsky Act. And that's bipartisan.
Yeah.
Even Lindsey Graham, who's been a bit of a lapdog of late.
I think Lindsey got himself in some trouble last weekend.
Because he went on and said, you know, the crown prince cannot be the king.
Yeah.
Well, that's over. You need to rethink that. And I'm sitting there going, really, can that happen? Well, I guess. The dad's still around and can say, yeah.
I'm sure King Solomon is listening for heredity advice to to Senator Lindsey Graham of Carolina.
But, you know, the kid's only 30-some years old. But, again, the question on the table is, what is there anything – what – how did the Saudis come to think that they could get away with what they apparently got away with Jamal Khashoggi?
All right. What do you say we go and talk to Lowell?
Lowell in Sarasota.
Lowell, good afternoon. Your patience is admirable, sir. Thank you, and welcome to the executive session on Buckle Up Thursday.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I've heard a very good theory about how they would have thought they would get away with this murder. So it's a thing. Put yourself in the. One of the things you do is you analyze something like this. You put yourself in the shoes of the murderer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're planning this murder, and one of the worst things you could do is murder somebody in your own house.
Yeah,
that's just dumb. Mm-hmm. That's just stone dumb, you know. But the theory was that one of the 15 guys was a lookalike for Khashoggi. So Khashoggi walks in, he gets murdered, and then they send this other guy out, and he takes a plane to London or whatever, and then and they can show pictures of him leaving, right?
Uh-huh.
And what screwed that plan up is that Khashoggi was wearing an Apple Watch that was broadcasting. He was recording the conversation.
Yeah,
but I don't buy that one. I think what screwed it up was he brought his fiance.
Well, that could be too.
Yeah.
Something screwed up the plan, right? Well, right, the fiance would screw it up too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Something screwed up the plan, and then they were all of a sudden they were caught. But I mean, it's an outrageous thing that they did, and it's apparently there are tapes. I mean, a whole bunch of people have said they've heard the tapes. And so the thing is real, and it's horrifying.
And we're invited to believe that the President of the United States has not heard the tapes.
Yeah, or that Pompeo didn't hear the tapes.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
It's so stupid. That, you know, it's like, oh, come on.
Well, the wild card in all this, Lowell, is the Turkish government. because they are the leakers on all this information. Yeah. Now, if they actually had the Saudi embassy bugged, and you will remember, well, how could they do that? The Russians did it to us.
Yeah.
We built a whole new embassy and realized it was 100% wired.
That's one of the reasons that we may not have seen this material is because the Turks do not want to reveal where their devices are
because
in the Saudi embassy.
Well, it's also the honor among thieves thing. Nobody does this to anybody else. It's just kind of an unwritten rule. You don't bug somebody's consulate. You don't bug somebody's embassy.
Sure you do. You just don't get caught in it.
Yeah. So, but
listen, I was in the Israeli ambassador's office in Washington, D.C., and they had a white noise machine going. And
I'm like,
why do you have a white noise machine? You know, we're hanging paintings for them. They're doing stuff. And they go, no, they have that's the Jordanian embassy over there, and they have these shotgun microphones, and they read the sound off the glass.
Yeah.
And they're sensitive enough to do that.
So the white noise covers it.
Right.
Fascinating.
I mean, this happens all the time. But, I mean, it's a horrifying thing, particularly because it's a journalist. And the other thing that strikes me is that the Trump administration could say, this is horrible, we're going to really, you know, be mean to these guys. You know, they're not even trying to appear that they're horrified by this.
Well, you know, I think there's a slight shift in the wind today. The fact that the Treasury Secretary is not going to go over to Davos in the desert indicates that the Secretary of State came back and said something about the facts he didn't want to talk about and didn't talk about with the Saudis. That's changed something. But I think on this Buckle Up Thursday, I think if I were going to say anything that's going to happen between now and this show on Monday, it's the other shoe drops on what happened here. I don't buy the Apple Watch thing, though. I just don't. No. Because the original report said the Saudis tried to act when they realized he had the Apple Watch on. They tried to use his thumb print on the Apple Watch to unlock it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that Apple Watches don't work that way.
Yeah. My best guess is that a Saudi assassination team has seen a Fitbit before. It's just a guess.
That's one of those things that's what bugs me about getting this stuff leaked from the Turks, from Turkey, is that, you know, it's not exactly that those guys hands are clean on all kinds of things, including freedom of the press. So, great stuff, though, man.
Thanks, Lowell. We'll talk again.
Hey, man. We'll talk.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We'll get you in on Buckle Up Thursday here. Also, if you are someone who has toyed with the idea of bringing your ideas to the session, now's your day.
It is a new caller Thursday. That means you call in and tell Jimmy at 813-239-9663 that you've never been on the air with us before. He will make sure we know about that, and you'll get some pre-boarding on this. And I want to tell you, no uncertain terms, and I've said this before, and it's absolutely true. You're smarter than us. You probably talk better than us.
There's no doubt.
We're just accidental tourists in this radio business.
Another
bozo on the bus. You don't even have to screw up your nerve. Just dial 813-239-9663 and we'll get you on the air. How about Cliff in Tarpon Springs?
All right.
It is indeed Cliff.
Cliff! Question mark. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon to you, sir.
What's up, man?
Well, listen, my thing is this, man. It's very simple. I don't think personally that us president gonna do anything, because first of all, you already give the nod that it's some rogue. I'm trying to use that word.
Yeah,
you know, we know exactly what it's leading up to and where it's coming from, and no matter what you see they do right now, it's just whitewash, just to polish it up and look nice like you're doing something. But I bet my last dollar on it, from now till next year, you won't see nothing come out of it. Nothing.
You bring up an interesting point, man, this whole use of the word rogue.
Yeah.
Because I got a feeling that sometime after November 6th, we're going to hear that again. In relationship to a certain investigation that's going on in terms of the word there's no collusion. That I didn't know anything about this. Those were rogue people in my campaign that were making those deals. The problem with all of that is if it's your campaign with your name on it, it's your campaign. But can you see where I'm going on this?
The rogue
thing in relationship to the Saudis is they had no idea those guys flew to Turkey. They had no idea, despite the NSA apparently picking up chatter, that they were trying to lure him to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, right.
He has family there. He just moved here like a year or so ago to live in the States. That those guys went there without telling anybody. And they didn't tell them that they were going to lure him, saying he needed to pick up some documents for this marriage, that he wanted to be straight up in Saudi Arabia. He wanted to have it all right. And then lured him in and killed him. They didn't tell anybody. So that gives what the Nixon administration used to call it, plausible deniability.
There you go, Cliff. You've solved it.
Okay, have a lovely day. Thank you. Sir.
You solved the Russian investigation. You got the whole thing pat down. Way to go, man.
You are good.
See
what I say? How much smarter you guys are? Thanks, Cliff. Call again. Yeah, that use of that, and I have never heard that used.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm thinking that's it, and it struck a bell with me. It's more of a tabloid world word, but that is the Nixonian. If you read John Dean's book, they were all calling each other and all getting their stories straight during the Watergate thing to make sure that they can't be traced to any knowledge of something prior to a certain date.
Exactly.
And all that kind of stuff. They know about it now. They know exactly what's going on.
All right, look.
You know what I mean?
I told you I can solve this thing in 30 seconds. Okay?
Well, you got a body?
Nope. No. Khashoggi was a spy.
Oh God, this story.
He was a spy for an American. He was a spy for American, and he went into the Saudi embassy and was so moved to be back in the company of his compatriots that he decided to defect. And he is now in the Saudi Witness Protection Program.
Oh, that's it.
See?
Yeah.
Again, how easy this is?
Again, all of this can be solved in a heartbeat for me. Show me Khashoggi.
Right.
Alive and well.
But he's in the Witness Protection Program. Yeah. You can't bust his cover.
Maybe that's not going to work. Oh. You're going to have to show me Khashoggi. You're going to have to show me his body in one piece.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And you're going to have to show me the 15.
Uh-huh.
The guys who flew in the night before and flew out the next day.
I would not want to be one of those guys, believe me.
I think.
They already said that there was a guy that was working in the embassy. This is a report. This is one of these people said things, okay? Mm-hmm. That there was a guy, and he was in the room when they started doing what they were doing, and he said, listen, could you guys take this someplace else? This makes me look bad. And the guy turned around, and he looked at him, and he said, you want to stay alive when you get back to Saudi Arabia? Shut up.
Okay, fine. But I do have this feeling that they're dead men walking.
Yeah. And on that note, we are going to take our final break for the
afternoon. We see you, Joe. We see you, Jack. We see you, Tony and Dan.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
A planned gift is a great way to ensure that WMNF will be here for years to come. Many great educational institutions, museums, and even public radio stations are here because someone generously left a planned gift. Please consider leaving WMNF a legacy of love in your estate plan. For more information, contact me, Gene Moore, at 813-238-8001 or email gene@wmnf.org.
It's coming. It's just weeks away. And our democracy depends on it. Tuesday, November 6th is Election Day in Florida and across our nation. Your vote makes a difference. The difference between intolerance and everyone's voice being heard. Between cruel government decisions and caring public officials. Your vote makes the difference. The board of the Nathan B. Stubblefield Foundation urges you to vote on November 6th.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured since 1984. The Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting connections with their clients and our community. More at thefloridalawgroup.com. If you are getting a new car, don't trade in your old one. Give it to WMNF. Your support is worth way more than a low trade-in offer and helps ensure your favorite programs are here for you and your community. Call 888-966-3885 or visit WMNF.org. And by the way, support for WMNF comes from our members and WEDU PBS. WEDU will honor nonprofit organizations and volunteers during the WEDU Be More Awards. Applications and nominations will be accepted through October 30th. Information is online at WEDU.org/be more. And down the stretch they come here on Muckle Up Thursday. We are talking. We've been talking about Jamal Khashoggi and the trying to figure out what
how to pronounce his name. Because I've only heard it pronounced 18 different ways.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
sure
it's
we're
pronounced
it
very different in Arabic. Yeah. I am understanding. Yeah. I will not. I promise. Attempt it on the air.
But what is boiled down to in this discussion? And you can get involved. Although I think we're full lines right now, but keep the number handy: 813-239-9663. You're listening to Executive Session. I'm Craig Kopp. I generally manage this place.
Yes, you do.
And of course, John Gilmore there is the host of Executive Session here. Buckle Up Thursday. The Jamal Khashoggi thing, I don't know what to call it. It's just a horrific thing. But when it, two things kind of jump out at you. Number one, that's a Washington Post columnist mm-hmm. who lives in the state of Virginia, mm-hmm. may or may not have a Virginia license, driver's license, but certainly pays taxes and stuff because he gets paid by the Washington Post, lives here. He's not a U.S. citizen. He's a Saudi citizen, but he lives in this country. He walks into a consulate. He disappears. And nobody's even whispered that they'll show him to us.
Right.
So,
or anything that sounds like an explanation for where he is.
Where he is. And in general, what we're hearing.
Except for the witness protection
from,
program.
John, fine. Witness protection program. Is that he's dead. He was killed there. Some say dismembered after a horrible torture ordeal. Why? What could have given the Saudis the idea that they could get away with something like this without consequence? Okay, that's question one. Question two is, if there are to be consequences, what are they to be? Let's go to Joe in St. Pete.
All right. Joe, good afternoon. You're in Executive Session this afternoon.
The answer to your question is there will be no consequences as long as we have Donald Trump controlling the reins of this government.
Well, I think even the current Congress before the November 6th election is sounding like they will attempt consequences whether or not the executive branch does or not.
Well, you know, it's just I'm just totally demoralized by both the Congress and the presidency right now. I wanted to put out another idea for another topic on another day, having to do with Saudi Arabia and them buying arms from us.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they are using those arms on Yemen.
They certainly are.
If Mr. Trump could get his head out of Fox News and watch the BBC or PBS news, they would see what's happening in Yemen.
Well, your second request is not going to happen.
I realize that, but they are killing people. They are starving people out, and they're using our bombs that we sell them to bomb innocent people.
Yeah, and they're not supposed to. Yeah, just FYI. Yeah, there was an American bomb that met a Yemeni school bus. And there's no question about that. And there were clamors in Congress at that point that something needed to be done and they needed to be reined in. This whole idea of selling weapons to countries like Saudi Arabia because they are sort of an ally. It's so hard with this country because, you know, all the 9/11 guys came from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
They practice that one of the most stringent forms of Islam.
Yeah.
There's certainly a lot of radicalization in the country, but, you know, also very modern in certain ways and stuff like that. It's a very tough call to send. We try to restrict the use of the weapons we sell to people who are our... What do you call it, John, when you make a deal with the devil? Because you kind of have to. Because that's what diplomacy is. You make a lot of very, really hard decisions. That we're going to sell you the weapons.
Strange bedfellows, as
it
were.
Didn't the Saudis even fight with us in the first Iraq war? Didn't they have pilots involved? I think they did.
I don't know. That's not something that I'm
so, you know, that's a tough one. But when they do something like that, there should have been sanctions as soon as that bomb exploded on that school bus.
I agree. And that was just the beginning. It wasn't the beginning. I'm sure there were other examples that you could use, and I'm sure it still goes on today.
Mm-hmm.
But to watch these people is one of the worst famines in like 100 years going on over there. To watch these poor babies dying of starvation over there because of what Saudi Arabia is doing to their country, I think that we need to take a more of a look at things like that and judge our what we're going to do, our diplomacy efforts.
Mm.
We need to put more of our diplomacy efforts out in the human consequence.
I agree. The whole relationship needs a fundamental reevaluation.
They are beginning what will be a generational disaster in Yemen because many, many, many people will die of starvation. And the people who don't will be damaged. And the children who don't die will be damaged for the rest of their lives, some of them profoundly.
And now we have this example, and I started out the show this way. What is the difference between what allegedly happened to Jamal Khashoggi and what ISIS did to Americans and other and citizens of other countries with the saber and the beheadings in the desert? To me, there's no difference.
I don't see a difference either. I'm with you all the way on that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Joe. Right,
listen, we are standing on the threshold of the lightning round. We are about to pass out.
Hi, this is Desiree Lynn with a WMNF community announcement. Tampa Food Not Bombs is a solidarity-based resource for the houseless community, sharing meals twice weekly in Lakes Gaslight Park downtown. Every meal we serve is a demonstration against America's massive food waste and lacking social services, while critical resources are diverted to militarism and war. We serve only vegan and vegetarian meals, and our shares take place Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. and Saturdays at 4 p.m. You can check us out online at Facebook at Tampa Food Not Bombs.
Pass out of Buckle Up Thursday is what I was going to say.
Until you had an itchy trigger finger. Why don't we go to Jack in Lakewood Ranch?
All right, Jack in Lakewood Ranch, you're in executive session this afternoon, and you're on.
Jack, how did the Saudis think that they could get away with something like this?
Well, I think it probably stems back to I'm a product of the 70s. I don't know if you remember, but the Saudi princes used to be in Time magazine, got a lot of really good publicity. You know, they bought a lot of limos. and the king, I think he was one of the major purchasers of commercial airlines.
Mm.
And, it just seemed like then Desert Storm, Enduring Freedom, all of those things hit, you know, 10, 20 years. And every time we went to war, their commercial airlines got pushed back on hold. And so their economy started to suffer because, you know, that was one of the main ways that they were bringing in income was,
well,
was
that
their commercial airline.
That and the little oil.
Yeah, they got to see, well, what was really interesting is how all of our oil got under their desert.
Well, what I find interesting, though, is that now that there's a major arms deal on the table, and so it's the wheels have somehow managed to turn in their favor. Now all of a sudden, you know, Jamil comes up missing. I personally, I don't think that he's dead.
I think
it's more like, I don't know, a chess game, if you want to put it that simply, but that they're playing a chess game with this big arms deal versus the number of times that we have put our military might ahead of their commercial airlines.
I don't think their commercial airlines is their biggest business.
It was pretty big, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and it was a big deal to them. Hmm. I mean, you know, you've got 100 planes that you've ordered that you were promised, and now they're telling you, well, I'm sorry, but you're not going to get them for at least 10 years because now we have to build an F-17, and then we're building an F-22, then we're building an F-35. And it's time after time after time.
So, well, number one, my first reaction to your theory that he's still alive is, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I prefer some whacked out chess game.
Yeah.
To what the current story is, but the reason for that whacked out chess game is a little more complicated. I'm not a buyer.
Complicated. Yeah. So we're gonna have to see how Donald Trump steps up to, you know, what's gonna be his next move.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a buckle up Thursday reaction. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
Dave, I was listening to great talk. Now I'm listening to great music.
Welcome to WMNF Tampa.
So today on It's the Music, you're going to hear Stu and Amanda. This is Stu's birthday, so get ready for a party. He's been there are British flags hung all, I don't know what to call that. Anyway, they are well flagged over in the next studio. It's in music history, the famous club CBGB's closes its door in 2006, a birthday for British legend Sir Cliff Richards. And we have several pairs of tickets to the Clearwater Jazz Holiday to give away today on It's the Music from 2 to 4 on WMNF. Stay around and enjoy yourself.
John, I think we're flat out of time.
We are. We got about a minute and a half.
Yeah, Dave, Dan, and Tony, we'll get to you. Trust me, something about this topic will be involved in the conversation.
Yeah,
on
we'll be back to this. Don't worry about it. And I appreciate your patience and sorry that we don't have the time to get to you this afternoon. Be sure and come back to us on Monday and we're going to start all over again. We're going to have Stormy Monday.
We'll see. I do want to throw my two cents in on something that John said earlier at the beginning of the show. It's an announcement that we're running a lot, but I think this is probably the first chance I've had to say thank you for our fall fund drive.
Yeah.
We made our goal, and we did that $235,000. We did that by noon on Monday.
Yeah.
So a little extra time, but we made it, and this show made its goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much appreciated because John puts a lot of hard work into this thing. I see him every day of the week except for Friday, and he's really given it a lot of thought. I see emails from him at the beginning of the day. He really works it hard. But really, it's you guys and the phone calls that make this show.
This is your conversation. Yeah. That's the reason that we're here. This is your conversation.
And every time I come in here on a Thursday, I get struck by, that's a really smart thing to say, which I didn't think of. But it's also your support. 70% of our operating budget comes from you guys and gals, and it's so appreciated, and we take it seriously, and we'll do the best job between now and when we come back and have another fun drive in February, because that's how we stay on the air because of you. So I just want to pass my thanks along. If you haven't made a pledge, it's not too late. Go to WMNF.org and get the job done.
And by the way, thanks, Jimmy Lyles, for handling the phones for us this afternoon. Hang around for It's the Music, and keep in mind as you go through the weekend, Driver 1058 urges you. Keep your eyes on the road, you hand apart. This is WMNF.